always learning, aren't we? Father, we worship you because you are in charge of everything. Hallelujah. We believe in you. We put our trust in you. And we're watching, every day we're watching as you take down evil. And you are putting fresh life into the body of Christ, into the church, into individual believers. So we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the resources that you provide. Thank you, Lord, for leading us in paths of righteousness. And we proclaim your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Download all of heaven to earth. Come and live among us and dwell among us as you spoke in the promise. I will live among you. I will be your God. You will be my people. I'll live among you. Hallelujah. Live your life in us and through us. We surrender to you. We love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And we proclaim, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's proclaim that together. Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. You see, Jesus said that statement is what he's going to use to build the church. This statement is not on Peter, it's on the statement that Peter made. Why? Because Peter made a statement and Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. That's what he's building the church on. Is God talking? And all of you, you're getting real good at hearing the voice of God, and then speaking what God is speaking, proclaiming what God is proclaiming. And the church, whether you realize it or not, is very, very victorious. Every day I'm getting all kinds of reports of how the church is coming alive. In St. Louis, how many of you heard about the meeting just recently in St. Louis? 35,000 young people came together in the stadium there, and the power of God was so powerful, so great, that even when they left and went out to restaurants to eat, they didn't even have to talk to people. People came and said, what is it that you have? We want it. Tell us how to get it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Harvest time. And of course, you know, we're also bringing down evil. We're speaking as God tells us to speak. And my, just since I was here last month, how many things, the sex traffickers, 1,800 of them are brought down. And they are after them, and they're going to bring all of them down. The drug dealers are coming down. Commerce is coming down. And God is blessing business. God is blessing the work of man's hands. Getting everybody in the perfect alignment for all that he wants to do. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a day to be alive. Jesse and I were shopping yesterday, and we went into Kohl's. And Jessie got what she wanted and went to the cash register. She was wearing her Star of David. And this lady, I thought she was going to crawl over the counter. She was so excited. And she said, are you Jewish? And Jessie said, no, but we sure love the Jews and we sure love Israel. And she said, me too. And boy, she took off and she was preaching the gospel right there. She's the cash cashier. Like, wow. And everywhere we go, Jess is always wearing the Star of David, and it just brings out that kind of response. So the battle is fierce. I hope you know the battle is fierce. But always remember this. God has promised. He said, I will never allow you to be tested above what you're able, but with every test I will make a way of escape. So God isn't afraid of evil. Keep telling you that. And from the very moment that that stake went in the ground, the cross went in the ground, God has been winning the victory. Doesn't look like it if you look in the natural, especially if you listen to the news. But if you get in the spirit, and several times even this month I've been caught up in the spirit, and you think the battle is bad down here, you ought to see how it is raging in heaven. But Michael is winning. Hallelujah. And Gabriel is talking. Hallelujah. So the victory is being won. But God wants us to win the battle here on the earth. But we have to do it in His power, in His authority, in His name, or in the name of Jesus in the magic word. It means in behalf of Jesus Christ. So when you're dealing with these things, it's as though you are speaking in behalf of Jesus Christ. Okay? So what I want you to understand, that don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. The war is raging. I understand that there are spirits. I don't fight against flesh and blood. I fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. And God is winning. But our part is to praise. Our part is to praise the Lord. The more we praise the Lord, the more He wins. That is, there's some of the prophets speaking now that they, and I've actually seen it in the heavenly places, the more we worship, the more the activity of the angels on the earth winning the victories. And so we keep on worshiping and praising. They don't mean that we don't get out and do the work, do the witnessing and all that. It's not about that. But going with joy, going with power, going with authority. I love to fight because I love to win. And as long as I keep right with God, I'm winning 100% of the time. If I try it in the flesh, I lose. But if I obey God, I win. So let's look at this. These are all familiar scriptures to you. So let's just rehearse these things so that we have the mind of Christ in this great battle that's going on. And if you think it's not a great battle, you're deceived, because it is ferocious. Even the attacks against our president, but God said, that's not against the president. That's against Jesus. That's against the Christ. Now, they're not against Jesus on a chain, hanging on a cross. They're not against that Jesus. They're not even against the Jesus you talk about in church. What they're against is the Christ. Okay? They are anti-Christ. They are anti-anointing. In other words, if there's any kind of manifestation, then they're against it. So it's anti-Christ isn't talking about being against religion. It's talking about being against a person, the Son of God. Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of the living God. What they're going to find out, he's not only Christ, he's Lord of Lords and he's King of Kings. Hallelujah. And he has the victory. And he's not just going to do it without us. That's not the plan. The plan is to do it through us. I keep telling you that every month. The plan is to do it through us, for us to speak, for us to do the worshiping, for us to do the speaking, presenting the truth, doing the proclaiming, and so forth. Well, let's look at the scripture. What it says is so familiar. You're familiar with David and Goliath. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." What do you see? You see a defied, they're defying God, they're defying Christ. It's like, we're going to wipe God out. That's the whole purpose that you're seeing, if you're listening to the news or watching the news. It's like, we're going to wipe God out of everything. And God's sitting up there laughing in derision. It's like, you're going to do away with, I created the heavens and the earth. I happen to be in charge of all of it. And you're going to wipe me out? He's just laughing. Yeah. In great derision, by the way. So David said, I know. It's not Philistines against Israel. You, that is the spirit that propels you, that motivates you, even that energizes you, is against the God of Israel. And you've had it. Huh? You've had it. And of course, took his head off, hit him with the stone, took his head off. Okay, look in chapter 17:47. Then all of the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. He will give you into our hands. There's not a single evil out there. If you can name it, God can defeat it. And he's doing it. Just, I have all these things I want to say, that time won't allow it. I'm thinking of just the illegal drugs. I mentioned that to you last month, but even this month now, already all over, no matter how they try to get those drugs into our country, they're finding them. Because God told me months ago, he said, speak truth. And when you do, all drug agencies will be able to find drugs no matter how they try to hide them. And they're doing it. And it's just like, wow, this is wonderful. You know, that we can speak what God says to speak. And we see it all coming down. Unjust weights are coming down. Commerce is coming down. Just keep proclaiming. Okay. 2 Chronicles 20:15. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours. It's hard to let go of it, though, isn't it? We take things personal. But God said, no. This is, all of this is against me. This is my battle. And I'm giving you power. And I'm giving you authority. But it's my power and my authority that I'm giving to you to win the victory. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Position yourselves. So there is an obedience here. We position ourselves for battle. I have a particular chair that I sit in as I get ready for battle. And YouTube is wonderful because I pull up the Jewish blessing, Chris, and this guy is singing the Jewish blessing for an hour. I put on the shofar from YouTube, and I have like three or four of them going up once, and I'm blowing mine. And then we go into warfare. And you ought to see the enemy tremble. Or you start blowing that shofar, you start worshiping the true and the living God. He is terrified. I love it. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you, Amplified Bible, as though terror stricken. And many a missionary who's gone into a lot of, like in the Philippines and different places where there's a lot of witchcraft, and the Christians go in and they begin to worship, and the people who have been the witch doctors or whatever, they tell the missionaries, we actually saw when you started to worship, we saw these demons fleeing the country. And by the way, people are taking over entire islands for Jesus Christ. And they're doing it with worship and worship and proclamation and worship and proclamation and worship. We can take every town, we can take every city if we will worship. And now the unity of the Spirit, the churches are starting to come together. So position yourself. Stand still. That means stand still. Don't be frightened because we're waiting. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See, you will actually see things happening. Who is with you? If God be for us, who can be against us? No weapon formed against you will prosper. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't this fun? I think it's fun. Hallelujah. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. 2 Chronicles 20, starting at 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord. We've kind of lost track of a lot of these songs. I still sing them. Songs that we sing to the Lord. And they're scripture songs, but we make it personal. And we sing to the Lord. We don't sing about the Lord. A lot of songs are about the Lord, and that's fine too. That I love personally to sing to the Lord. You are Lord, you are Lord. You have risen from the dead, and you are Lord. Things like that. And who should praise the beauty of holiness? Praising the beauty of holiness. I have a teaching that I'm going to be bringing at some point, how God is going to produce holiness. About 2 years ago, I talked about holiness without legalism. I don't know if you remember that teaching or not. But this is actually how God is going to produce holiness in us. The scripture is talking about, in 1 John 3:8, it says, for this is the reason the Son of God was made manifest, to undo, dissolve, loosen, and destroy all the work the devil has done. And of course, we're looking worldwide to God destroying evil all over the earth as he downloads heaven. to the earth. But where does it start? Judgment must begin with the household of God. And actually, if you go back and look at that verse in context, it's talking about how God put a perfect seed, Chris, you talk about harvest, he put a perfect seed inside of each one of you the day you were born again. And that seed is Jesus. And that perfect seed is going to go out through the soul, producing God fruit or God harvest, but it's going to cleanse you. You know, you talk to people, well, I just can't quit sinning. No, you can't. But God don't sin. That's what the whole context is about. God doesn't sin. And God living inside of you is going to bring you into a holiness. And I love where Jesus said, there is nothing in me that belongs to Satan. Therefore, he has no power over me. How many of you would like that?
Yes.
To be such that there's nothing in you that Satan can get a hold of. Hallelujah. And I know he's doing that in me. To where it doesn't matter what the temptation is, it has no pull. Satan can't pull me around. He can't yank my chain anymore. He yanked my chain long enough. And God is doing a work to bring holiness. But this is a true holiness. It's not about how you dress or how you comb your hair or, you know, any of that stuff. This is holiness so that God can live in us, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then work through us to do his work. And he'll do it without judging you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's a choice there. Okay, so beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Let's try that. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Again, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Again, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Actually, as you go ahead and read the story, they attacked each other until there was no one left. They actually devoured one another. Devouring one another. See, the Antichrist can't help it. And that doesn't matter. The Antichrist will use people, and always remember, keep the person separate from the Spirit, always. Because there's always a chance for redemption. God's in the saving business, deliverance business. He's always wanting to separate. But Satan never plays fair. And he will always end up killing whoever he uses for his purpose. He can't help it because he's the thief who's come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And so he uses them, and then he'll end up destroying them. He'll end up, and they'll kill each other. The Lord, who set the ambushments? The Lord set the ambushments. And so they ambushed each other and destroyed each other. God sent a confusion among them. And several times God has spoken to me various Antichrist things, and he said, speak confusion to them. And so I speak confusion, and the news comes on. That's strange, he sure seemed confused. Why did he say that when he should have said that? So, God can bring confusion, and God can bring ambushments. But ours is to, let's kind of put it all together here. Ours is, first of all, to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Then we're to love one another. Once there's that unity of the Spirit, in every place, in every town, now where all of the churches, regardless of the denomination, they're just coming together in one Spirit, God just comes right down in the middle of it. Then we're going to speak with one voice in proclamation against the enemy and praise unto God. One voice speaking praise to the Lord. He's going to bring it all down. But it's going to take us really understanding there can't be division. Satan, one of his main tactics, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your church, your Bible study group, is to divide and destroy. Don't let it happen. Love one another. Just keep on loving. Keep on loving. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 30. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. Hallelujah. Remember when God spoke to me and said, holding back the Antichrist, but I am releasing peace and safety. Can't you see the news and all the bad stuff that's happening? God says, no, I see peace and safety. I see when there's rest all around. Hallelujah. Psalm 110:1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till, I underlined it so you get it, till I make your enemies your footstool. This is the Father speaking to the Son and said, I want you to sit at my right hand. Position of rest. Until I make your enemies. It's not your enemies. It's Jesus' enemies. And they're going to be made his footstool. In fact, as I'm having a lot of fun, Chris, I'm looking up a lot of the scriptures. It talks about them being ground to dust. When God made man, he made him out of the dust of the earth. Now he's grinding them back to dust. Hallelujah. All evil will be ground to dust. 1 Corinthians 15:25. He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. He must reign. Christ must reign. The church must reign until he's made his enemies his footstool. Hebrews 10:12-13. But this man, referring to Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, therefore a position of rest. From that time, waiting till the enemies be made his footstool. You think that the enemy will ever be made his footstool? I think three verses ought to be enough. But there's a lot more verses that I could use there. Acts 4:27. Now I want you to really pay attention to this verse. If I just stood here and preached at one verse, it would be okay, because you would have it. You'd have the entire teaching in one verse. And truly, against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Who were they against? The Son of God. The battle is not ours. This is against the Son of God. A lot of times in the morning when I'm pray for our president. And I put a mantle over him. I make a proclamation, no weapon formed against you will prosper. The accuser of the brethren is cast down. The accuser of the brethren is cast down. No weapon formed against you. No voice formed against you. And so we make these proclamations. But of course, God showed me one day, this is about 3 months ago. He said, they're not against Donald Trump. They're against Christ. They are anti-Christ. Anti-Christ. Of course, sometimes God gets real personal, too. And I said, okay, so it's wherever there is anointing. That's what Christ means. Same as Messiah. He is the anointed one. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. And so, they're against the anointing. That's why they're anti-Christ. That's why they're against anything that you can't say Jesus. You can't, now Google, Facebook, a lot of, you can't say the word Christian on Facebook because they're starting to delete it. And to keep you from doing that. And by the way, there's a new thing coming up that's going to be for Christians to say anything that you want to say for the glory of God, and no one's going to be able to stop it. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. It'll be better than Facebook and Google and all of those things. But there's every effort to drive Christ out of America. And there's every effort coming forth to bring Jesus Christ to bear on all of it. As we worship Him, glorify Him, and every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Amen. Here again, listen. You have to keep the spirit of the Antichrist separate from the people, because the people can always be born again. They can always repent. I'm naming people that I believe God's going to show them visions and dreams and revelations, and they're going to be born again. And they're going to come from, like Saul of Tarsus, from the negative side to the positive side, and be great proclaimers of the gospel. Proverbs 21:30. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. How could you hold counsel against God? I know better than God. Remember, Satan, I'm going to lift myself above the Most High God. God says, no, I'm going to put you under my feet. Zechariah 4:6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. What if we believed that one verse? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. How then would we worship? Like I just told the church across the Victory Church over in Illinois, I said, I can see the day when the entire worship service becomes a worship service. I love to teach. But when the Spirit of God comes in, I probably won't be teaching. The fact is, I'll probably be down on my face on the floor worshiping God. And then standing as tall as I can, with my hands raised as high as I can, worshiping the Lord. Yet, you need both, by the way. I hope you know that. We submit to Him, honoring. That's a part of worship. Worship comes from the word worth. And what is he worth in comparison to what I'm worth? I'm on my face. Who's going to win? The Lord God Almighty. And so I stand tall and worship. And by the way, if you do this, I like to put my body completely into what I'm doing. I talked to you about like the glory of the Lord covering the earth. Or we're loving somebody. Put our arms around them. Love them. Even though they're miles away. Love them. I love to do that. But in my worship, I love to kneel. I love to stand tall. I love to be on my face before God. All of them are very, very important. And my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Turn from their wicked ways. Then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn from their... It doesn't say anything about the world turning from their wicked ways, does it? It said, my people turn from their wicked ways. If a man's ways please the Lord, he'll cause even his enemies to be at peace with him. All we have to do is please God. He'll take care of the enemy. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:37. Yet in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then back to the 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 Chronicles 14:15. And it shall be, when you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle. For God, what's it say? For God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. When you hear, here again, it's listening. Listening to the Spirit of God. And when he says go, we go. When he says speak, we speak. We do what we see the Father do. We speak what we hear the Father speak. And the result is total victory. One of the definitions of peace is total victory. There's no detente. There's no in between. God wins and Satan loses. And that is peace. When there's peace, then there's God. And that's the reason why God was so upset when he sent 12 tribes into Israel. And he said, wipe out the enemy. He said, if you don't, then you'll compromise. And they, sure enough, they didn't wipe all of them out. Then they ended up compromising. And God spoke to me. He said, I wanted to give you the land and all of these blessings, but I couldn't do it because you didn't obey me. You can't have peace until you have total victory. Don't stop until there's not an enemy left. But as long as you're moving forward, you can make it through the enemy. My wisdom for you is keep moving forward. The enemy, the battle is furious. But keep moving, all of you, keep moving forward. You've had the word of the Lord. You have the whole armor of God. You have everything that you need to win. But you have to keep moving forward. They throw you in prison, down in the dungeon. Try worship. God might even send an earthquake. Shake the jail down, and the jailer gets saved, and all of his family. Hallelujah. Okay. Psalm 18:2-3 on the back side of your page. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Look what it's saying. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Was it last week that they pulled down the sign of Congress, the House site of Congress, that said, "In God we trust"? They pulled the sign down. Pulled the sign down. I can't believe. The Antichrist was to pull all the sign down. I can't believe that. But while they're doing it, I'm looking, and here's all these police cars. And it's all the way from, I don't know about California, I know all over from the Midwest to Florida, and all over, the police cars have "In God We Trust" on their bumpers. The fire department, "In God We Trust." Hallelujah. All the emergency responders, "In God We Trust." One of these days, the church will say, "In God we trust." Wouldn't that be something? "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." It's not your battle, it's God's battle. Proverbs 16:7, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." What if we believe just that one verse of Scripture? That all I have to do is get right with God, and I wouldn't even need enemies. I've taught you on how evil is important, because evil is the consequence of us chasing God, either out of our lives or out of our nation or whatever. And so we're opening the way. You know, it's like 22 people got shot. I go into people's homes, and they won't even come out to visit me, because they're on these computer games, and they shoot 1,000 people every night on their computer games. I think I need to go kill a real person. Of course, there again, it's demonic. We know that it's demonic. Here again, the news media, they spent 3 days covering El Paso. There's 181 people die every day from opioids. Why don't they cover it? Why don't they tell about, we had 181 people killed today. And it's pharmakia. It's pharmakia. And these people are getting rich and killing people with their opioids. Time for them to come down. And they are coming down, by the way. There are people that are really getting on it right now. And the drug companies, and there's going to be some heads roll. But what if they started charging them with murder every time 181 people got killed? How long do you think that they'd stay in business? But it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Ours is to worship our God, but also to proclaim. You can proclaim that they will be brought to dust, and be brought to nothing, because that's what the Scripture says. They will be crushed under the feet of Jesus. It goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15, that the seed of the woman is going to crush the seed of the serpent. Going to bruise his head, he'll bruise Jesus' heel. That's what the Antichrist is doing right now. He's bruising Jesus' heel. And Jesus is getting ready to bruise his head. Hallelujah. Revelation 13 and 14. "I saw these unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings," look what it says, "to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of the great day of God Almighty." In short, they've had it. Because God is good at killing frogs. They're going to do great signs and miracles. Remember, Moses faced them. Moses threw his rod down, and it became a serpent. The magician said, "What's this?" And they all threw theirs down, and they became serpents or snakes. Ah, but Moses' snake ate all of their snakes. Hallelujah. Yes, there are demon spirits. There's all kind of evil going on. What God is waiting for is for the church to be the church, to get clean, repent. People say, "Well, I just sin every day," as though, you know, that was the expectation. Because John says, if you say you haven't sinned, then you're lying. So we're not talking about sinless perfection here. We're talking about letting God clean us up so he can fill us up so we can speak in his behalf and accomplish what he wants to do. When we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Your will be done. Your will be done. Jesus even going to the cross, "Not my will, but your will be done." Once we see that, and we see the battle is the Lord's, then let it rage, because we're winning. We are the winners. Hallelujah. Now, Ephesians 1, verses 28 through 22. "Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church." You ought to make yourself a plaque, that verse on it. He is the head of the church, and he is above all dominion and all powers. Zechariah 3, 1 and 2. "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at the right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?'" This is God's doing. When God speaks of Zion, he said, "My holy mountain." He didn't say Israel's holy mountain. He said, "My holy mountain. Blow the shofar. May they tremble. My holy mountain." God's taken his land back. God has a stake in the earth. It is the cross of Jesus Christ. God has a stake. He has a claim to the earth. When it talks about worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. We talked about that. I see the Lord high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. We did that. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Well, it says that he is, says, worthy is the Lamb to open the seals, to open the scroll, and to read the scroll on both sides. The scroll is the title deed to the earth. When you buy a house, you end up with the title deed. He already has the title deed. It's just rolled up. But he's going to read it. Wouldn't you like to see that scroll written on both sides? Hallelujah. Jude 1:19. "Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.'" This is God's battle. there are times when I drive out demons. I tell them to come out, and they come out. They have to. They have to obey me. But when we're in spiritual battle, when you see the battle that's raging in heaven, then I don't do that. I just simply say, the Lord rebuke you. Nothing more powerful against Satan than those terms. Let's go back to the verse right before that. I really want you to get this. And then he showed me the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand and oppose him. Have you ever had Satan oppose you? And the Lord said to Satan, now who said it? The Lord said it. The Lord, isn't that an interesting statement? The Lord said, the Lord rebuke you. Well, it's the same as Psalm 110:1. The Lord said to my Lord, stand at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So you have this complete authority between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so when I'm in fierce battle, I revert to this statement, the Lord rebuke you. And I win. Because Jesus wins the battle. Satan tried to defeat God in your life. Trying to chase God, not just out of your country or out of your state. He wants to chase God out of your life. Sorry, Satan. You just lost. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Hallelujah. Father, we just praise you and we worship you. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And for anyone that's going through battle right here, right now, all kinds of things, small, big, in the name of Jesus, I pronounce victory. I pronounce victory in your situation and your circumstance. I pronounce peace. Total victory. Total victory. In the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. You thought you could oppose God. But you lose. And Jesus wins. We worship Jesus.